From time to time, we all need to be re-energized. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell shows us how to reignite our passion for God.
The focus of our church is the Lord, but what good is a stated focus if there is no expression of that focus? What good is it to say, oh, I really believe the world needs to hear the gospel if there's no expression of that? What good is it to say, I really love the Lord if there's no expression of that love for the Lord?
Life can get busy. Responsibilities, relationship pressures, and schedule challenges can all feel overwhelming. Sometimes we just need to pause, evaluate, and start again fresh. In our series, Reignite, we will discover key areas of our life that God wants to transform through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you have ever felt stuck or powerless to change your environment, then this series is for you. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Reignite Your Stewardship.
Well, I don't know about you, but for me, sometimes it's hard to stay focused on particular goals in life. And every January, I write those goals. And sometimes the goals revolve around time with my children or grandchildren, time with my wife. Sometimes they're financial goals, they're spiritual goals. Sometimes they're diet goals. And it's not always easy to stay focused exactly on those particular goals because life has a way of pulling at you and distractions come and it's easy to get pulled away. I heard about a fellow who made a goal concerning his diet. He and some friends decided that they were going to be vegetarians for the year, and that was their commitment, that was their goal. Things went pretty well until the summer. One day he smelled his neighbor barbecuing some steaks. And he smelled those steaks and he began to think about meat. And he told his friends he was going on vacation, but he didn't really go on vacation. He went on the other side of town. He went into the restaurant. And when he went into the restaurant, he ordered roasted pig. And he waited there for his meat to come. And while he was waiting, he heard a familiar voice. And he looked up across the restaurant and there were his friends with whom he had made the agreement to become a vegetarian. He saw them, and about the time he saw them, he saw the food coming. It was a giant pig, fully with the head, and an apple stuffed inside of its mouth. He looked at his friends. He looked at the pig. He said, wow, isn't that something else? All I do is order an apple, and look what it comes with. Now, folks, I got to tell you something. It's hard to stay focused on a particular goal. But as we consider this matter of restart, I want to challenge you to restart your stewardship because I know many of you have a goal to honor God. And many others of you are just beginning to consider the fact that now that you're saved, it's important to honor the Lord. And so we're going to restart in our stewardship for the Lord this day. And I trust that you're ready to say, Lord, here am I. Use me in the work that you have for our local church and for my life. Now, before the conference even really gets going, and as we have this very first message, I want you to notice in your outline, and I want you to notice in your heart, the focus of our local church. I want you to think with me for a moment about the focus of the local church. And I want you to recognize that our focus this morning is the Lord. And I want you to recognize today, it's not about the missionary, it's not about the slides, it's not about the pastor, it's not about the beautiful flags or the beautiful choirs and children's choirs. It's not about the program. It's about a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. And I want you more than anything this week to fall in love with Jesus and to focus on Jesus and to recognize that we're simply here learning to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. What we want to do this morning is we want to say, Lord, help me to have all the other distractions out of sight and help me to have you in my sights. Help me to focus on you, Lord, today. Jesus said that we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all of our mind. And so when I consider the focus of Lancaster Baptist Church, I want you to recognize that our focus is the Lord. Our focus is the Lord. Why, Pastor? Well, we're focusing on Him above every other God and above every other name and above every other prophet, because He alone died on the cross and rose again for our justification. Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. He lived a perfectly sinless life. He was taken up the hill of Golgotha, where there He voluntarily gave Himself, and the Roman soldiers placed the nails through His hands and through His feet and the crown of thorns upon His head, and His blood came flowing down. That blood was shed for your sin and for mine. Jesus Christ shed His blood on the cross of Calvary in order that all the world might know the way of salvation and the way of forgiveness. He was taken into the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, and yet on the third day, up from the grave, He arose with a mighty triumph for His foes. Why do we focus on God today? Because He alone has conquered death and the grave, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. My friend, Jesus Christ has conquered death and the grave, and we sang it this morning. Worthy is the Lamb. He is worthy of our focus. He is worthy of our attention. He is worthy of our worship this morning. Jesus Christ is our focus because He has conquered death and the grave. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 8 tells us, in being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and of things in heaven and of things in earth and of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Oh, I'm so thankful today that Jesus Christ humbled Himself, came down to this earth, and died on the cross for my sin. And we're going to focus on Him because of what He has done for us. We're also going to focus on Him this week because of His many wonderful attributes. And we just want to be mindful of who Jesus is. Ephesians 3 and 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Now understand my heart this morning as your pastor. My heart this morning is that Jesus would get glory out of every song we sing this week, that Jesus would get glory out of every message that is preached, and that in all things Jesus Christ might be glorified, for He is worthy. He is worthy because He is Creator God. The Bible says in Revelation 4 and 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. He is worthy because He is eternal God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is worthy because He is all-powerful God. Isaiah 40 tells us, neither does He faint, nor is He weary. I'm saying to you this morning, He is worthy. He is not always understood by the world. Why, the chemist cannot understand how someone can turn the water into wine, and the biologist cannot understand how the Holy Ghost would overshadow Mary, and that which was born of her was the very Son of God. And the student of physics cannot understand how one could defy gravity and ascend up into heaven. And the medical world cannot understand how blind Bartimaeus received his sight, nor can they understand how Jesus said to Lazarus, come forth. And I want you to understand the historians today. They wonder who He is, this one who is the beginning and the ending. I don't understand everything that Jesus has done, but I believe in Him this morning, and I want you to worship Him with me this week. I want Jesus Christ to be the focus of everything we do. Our focus is the Lord. But here's the problem so often with American Christianity. We say that we believe certain things, and most of you would believe every word that I have preached so far. But oftentimes our belief and our behavior are not connected. And we say that He is number one, and then we argue about why we can't give. And we say the whole world deserves the gospel, and we won't come to a Sunday night service. And we say that we really care, but we seem to get more excited about football than about preaching. You're saying, now, Pastor Chappell, you're meddling. I know. A lot of times we say, oh, my focus is the Lord. But I want to ask you this question this morning. If the Lord is truly your focal point in life, if you truly desire a Christ-centered life, then how is that being expressed through you? How do you express it? How are you expressing that the Lord is first? You see, I really believe today that there are many ways we can tell the Lord He's first in our life. We can tell the Lord this in many different areas of our lives, and we have opportunity this morning to hear the preaching and to sing and to ascribe worth to Him, and we worship Him in various different ways. But I believe there's a very fundamental way that God has established for us to keep our focus on Him, and that is something we call tithing this morning. It is a matter of tithing, and I want you to think about this expression in giving, the way we express to our Lord our love for Him. You see, the Bible says that where your treasure is, there will your what? There will your heart be also. And God established a way that we can keep first things first and keep the Lord first in our life. And I want you to think about tithing because it's really the beginning point. Many of you have gone way beyond the tithe in your spiritual walk. For some, you have not yet begun to tithe. You're new in this and you don't understand what it really means. And so very briefly, let me explain to you that tithing was established before the law. Way back in Genesis chapter 14, Abraham, after coming back from battle, came into the city of Jerusalem, and there he was met by Melchizedek. Melchizedek is often believed to have been a theophany or an Old Testament appearance of Christ. And there, as Abraham came in the presence of Melchizedek, the Bible tells us that Melchizedek honored him. In fact, in Hebrews 7 and verse 1, rather that Abraham honored him, Hebrews 7 and 1 says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace." Sometimes people say, well, tithing, that's just of the law. And my answer to them is, oh, yes, it was very much a part of the law. Yes, it very much was a part of worship before the law and after the law. And the very basic beginning of giving in the Bible is the one-tenth, the tenth part. And so we see that Abraham, when he met Melchizedek, he offered him 10% of all that he had. He offered that unto the Lord. Tithing was something that was very evident, established before the law. It was secondly established or expanded under the law. The Bible tells us in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me." That's pretty strong language. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, the meaning of the word tithe, it comes from the Hebrew, mahashra. It means a tenth. And here we see Malachi calling out to the children of Israel, and he's saying, prove God. You've heard of the Pepsi challenge. This is the God challenge. God says, I want you to try me. I want you to prove me and see if after you honor me first, after you seek first the kingdom, if I will not pour out a blessing upon you. Now, the place of the tithe in the Old Testament was the temple. This was the center of worship. As the Jewish people came to the temple, they brought their tithe, and hence they honored God, and they facilitated worship in the temple. The storehouse today is the local New Testament church, and as we come together, we honor God, and we focus on Him in other ways, singing and preaching, but also in the tithe. We say, God, you're number one. And God, I want you to know you have the first place in my life. And so tithing was established before the law. Tithing was expanded under the law. Thirdly, tithing established or explained as a stewardship of trust. Tithing is explained as a stewardship of trust. Now, let's get an understanding of what it means to tithe. Because someone says, hey, I make $200 a week. I don't know if I can afford that $20. And I don't know how to afford it. And I know Terry and I, when we began tithing well over 30 years ago, nearly 35 years ago, it didn't make sense on paper. And yet we began by faith. And you know what that involved in our young married hearts? It involved trusting that God was going to make it all work. And look in your notes there, if you would, at Proverbs 3:5. Trust the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. So tithing is a matter of trusting God. And it's not a matter of can and can't. It's a matter of will or won't. Tithing is a matter of saying, I'm going to trust the Lord. And notice in Proverbs 3:9, just down in your notes there, Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So whether it was a good year or a bad year, God said, I want you to honor me with the first fruits. I want you to come in and remember me with the first tenth of my blessing in your life. And many of you today need to recognize that even our missionaries who minister to people who make $5 a week are teaching those folks in Africa and other countries to tithe because they don't want to rob them of the blessing of honoring God. And I'm telling you that if a man in Africa is going to tithe off his $5, all of us need to honor God with the first fruits of our life. Heard about a missionary in Africa who was teaching his people to tithe. And on a Monday morning, a man came to him with a huge, giant fish. And he said, here, Mr. Missionary, this is for the Lord. And I wanted to bring it right away. He said, you've been teaching us about tithing. And the missionary looked at that and he said, wow. He said, now, if this is your tithe, where are the other nine fish? And the young man said, oh, they're still in the river, but I wanted to bring God his first. Now, I want to tell you, he was getting the right idea. He was learning to trust God. He did not wait to see if he was going to catch 10 and then give one. He brought that first one to the Lord. And I just want to say that this is the beginning point of stewardship. And I want to challenge you this morning that if your focus is the Lord, that the very best way to remain focused is to continue tithing. And I've noticed over the years, long before church attendance slacks and long before someone is no longer faithful in church, they will cease the tithe because where the treasure is, there will your heart be also. And you want to maintain that focus as you honor God in giving. And as we give to the Lord, we're recognizing the simple fact that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And we're saying, Lord, you've given this to me. I'm honoring you with the tenth part. So tithing was established in essence before the law. It was expanded under the law. It was explained as a matter of trust. And finally, tithing is expected in the church. When we read in the New Testament, we see that the matter of giving was something that everyone was challenged to be a part of. In fact, we read that this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7 where it says, every man. Paul didn't say, I know some of you at Corinth are having difficulty and it's a tough time. But he just said, I want everybody to do something. Notice if you would in your notes, 1 Corinthians 16:1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. The first day of the week, my friends, is Sunday. God says when you get together on Sunday, you're no longer getting together on Saturday at the temple, you're getting together on Sunday at the church. How about that? Amen? And we're here today celebrating the resurrected Christ. And he said, when you gather together on that first day of the week, I want every one of you to come together into my storehouse, and I want you to come prepared. I want you to lay by him in store as God hath prospered you. I want you to remember your God. Sometimes we forget where it all comes from, and God wants us to remember. I heard about a fellow that took his son to McDonald's, and they got some french fries, and He did not order fries for himself, but he got a big super size for his son, and they each had a Diet Coke there and a Coke for his boy. And the father did what I would have done. He smelled those french fries and he reached over and he took one of the french fries, and his son said, hey, those are my fries. Now his dad drove them to the McDonald's, and his dad took the money out and paid for the french fries. But the boy said, those are my french fries. I don't know about you, if I would have been there, I might have said, listen, boy, I brought you into this world. I brought you to McDonald's. I bought those french fries. Those are our french fries. But it reminds me of a lot of Baptists. God gives us a job. God gives us a check, and it's Sunday, and now it's time, and it's time for the tithe, which is the Lord's, the first fruit of our substance. And if we're not careful, we're saying to God, those are my french fries, God. I know you gave me that contract, but I need this right now. We must recognize that tithing and giving to the Lord should be a normal routine as we come together to worship Him. And so I say to you this morning, the focus of our church is the Lord, but what good is a stated focus if there is no expression of that focus? What good is it to say, oh, I really believe the world needs to hear the gospel if there's no expression of that? What good is it to say, I really love the Lord if there's no expression of that love for the Lord? Now, I believe that when you have love for someone, you want to express that love through an obedient heart. I remember when we were dating, Terry and I would spend time talking, getting to know one another, and we got engaged, and I found out that she liked these little precious moments figurines. And honestly, to this day, I don't really understand the whole thing. And normally, it's like two people with a little heart, and they're kind of snuggling together, or it's, some other, little kind of a carving of some romantic type of a theme. And we'd sometimes be at a store, she'd say, oh, those are so nice. And well, I figured out what she liked, and I wanted to give her what she liked. She was the focal point of my life at that point, and so far as our relationship, and I didn't really understand these little figurines. I thought they probably cost a little bit too much money. All I knew is this: I loved Terry and she wanted that. And I didn't go into the Hallmark store and go, all right, here's one. They're kind of holding hands. There's a cute little saying right there. Whatever. And go up to the counter and go, yeah, I don't really like this, but I have to get it. So here, wrap it up, And I didn't go to Terry and go, all right, here it is. You can have it. I don't understand it, but here, you can have it. That's not my attitude with that. My attitude was, man, this is awesome. Look, this one right here. These two people, they're holding hands. Maybe she'll hold my hand. She'll probably really like this one. And boy, this is great. And I go up, I get to give this to my fiance, and then I give it to her, and I couldn't wait for her to open it up. It was exciting. I was thrilled to give those little figurines. I gave dozens of those figurines to Terry while we were dating. Because when you're focusing on someone, you want to express it. And you'll know how your love for Jesus is going by your attitude toward the giving to the Lord. Are you giving to Him from a heart of love, or is it sort of like when you pay your taxes? You see, if we're focusing on the Lord, we'll express that focus. And then I want you to see, secondly, and remember the good part about the message. There's only two points today. Amen? The third point is tonight. So here's the second point. Does that mean we're almost done? I have no idea. Depends on how fast you listen. The focus of the church is the Lord, and that is expressed through the tithe. Number two, the fields of the local church. When you focus on someone, you listen to what they say, just like I listened to Terry. And listen to what Jesus said in John 4:35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, look unto the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. Now, Jesus is my focal point, and Jesus is accepting that worship, but He's also saying, hey, to His disciples, I want you to look over here to the fields that are white already unto harvest. Why? Because we want to lift up our eyes and look at life is not all about the job and soccer and football and paying the bills and building an airplane. Hey, God put us on this world for a period of time to help others know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Jesus said, sometimes we got to get our eyes off our calendar date book and get our eyes onto the fields that are white already unto harvest. And so, church, I want you to hear me this morning. Our field is the world.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329 or go to dailyintheword.org. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chapel's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.